Acts chapter 17. I had something else was on my heart for today, this evening, and I was privileged to go out. My brother-in-law and sister, they were having revival out at Life Change this week, and Brother Garrett Fitch is here. He preached the revival and was out there Thursday night singing with my family, and Garrett preached out of this chapter, and he didn't preach this message, but he was talking about Paul going into Athens and how we need to seek after Athens and go after Athens. And so as he was preaching that, I made a mental note and read the rest of the chapter. My dad always taught me when studying the Bible, it's always important to read before, read after, even sometimes chapters, read before and after. Find out who's talking, who they're talking to get the whole synopsis of the chapter. So I did, and something jumped out at me, and I began to do some study, and I found, you know, Jesus, you can find Jesus pretty much about anywhere in the Bible. I mean, he's the common theme of the Bible. I think you know that. We've said it often. A preacher years ago used to say, if you can't find Jesus on one page, just turn the page and you'll find him twice on the next one. And so as I was reading this, something jumped out at me, and I had never, we say a lot, we read it, but it never jumps out to us. And I want you to know, I found Jesus in the most beautiful place. I found Jesus in the most beautiful way. And I'm so excited to share this with you tonight. And I want you to go with me to verse 1 of chapter 17. And we'll read just a few verses on down through verse 9. Now this is talking about Paul and Silas. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Now, stop there. This is about a 100-mile journey, okay? So it would have taken them several days. They came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preached unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So we could tell from this message that several people of all backgrounds came to know Christ and accepted Christ. But look what happened. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. That's what jumped out at me, the house of Jason. And sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. We'll stop there. Now, just briefly a background here. It's very self-explanatory of what was happening. Paul goes to the temple when he gets to Thessalonica, and I suggest, as an aside, when you go home and read this again, make sure you go home and read 1 Thessalonians right beside it, because it'll explain a lot and help explain out this Acts chapter 17. And so he was there, he was preaching about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we know from verse 4 that several people came to know Christ. But as you know, when Jesus is preached, when people are getting saved, the devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like to see progress made for Christ. He doesn't like to see people standing up for Christ. He doesn't like the name Christ. So anytime you mention Jesus, he's going to be upset. And so what happened in verse 5, the Jews that believed not, they were full of envy, it says. And they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company. So here's exactly what happened. These Jews that didn't believe and were upset at what Paul was preaching, they were outnumbered by the ones that were getting saved. So what they did is they went out into the city, they went out into the marketplace, They went out and just found people that were standing alongside the road, not doing much, just doing their daily thing and going through and shopping, maybe going through the flea market, whatever they wanted to do. They got some of these people together. They got some crooks and thieves together, and they started to cause an uproar. Basically, they started a mob and they started looting and rioting right in the middle of Thessalonica. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? They started to have a mob. And what they did is they got them all in an uproar. I'm sure that most of these people that were involved in this riot had no idea what they were even there for. But these Jews started causing an uproar and said, we got to go get Paul. We got to go get Silas. They're causing trouble. And so let's go after them. And so what they did is they went after this man and his house, this man by the name of Jason. Now in the Greek, it's pronounced Jason, but we'll not say that because it sounds weird and I'll mess it up. So we'll just say Jason. And so this man named Jason. And as I begin to study about this man named Jason, there isn't much about him. I started looking and researching over these last few days and really just spending my time trying to find all I can about this man. And basically all I knew and all I found out was he's from Thessalonica. No one preached a message. I didn't find a message on Jason. I'm sure there is some out there, but a lot of them preached about turning the world upside down, but they didn't specifically mention Jason. So as I begin to research this, I found that Jason is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, number one, why I feel that way. Number one, I want you to notice the persecution. The persecution. When Jesus was preached, when Paul preached about Jesus and him crucified, the devil didn't like it. And so the mob came. They started rioting. And they went directly to the house of Jason. And the Bible says they assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Think about this, folks. They came to this house. They came to Jason. And he had no reason other than the fact that he was friends of Paul and Silas. But they came after him and persecuted him for something he did not do. Think about it. He wasn't the one preaching. He was just the one taking care of Paul and Silas. But they came and accused him and assaulted him. I want you to notice that this group of people came. They came with nothing better to do than just to come after him. But not only the assault, but I want you to notice the accusation. Here's what the accusation they came, and I find this to be funny. They came and allegedly they said, you know what, we've got a problem with you. We've got a problem with Paul and Silas. We've got a problem with your house. And here's why. Because you turned the world upside down and you believe there's another king named Jesus. And I don't know if Jason said these words. It's not written, but probably he said, you know what? I'm guilty. Isn't that something to be accused of, folks? In the day in which we live, people say, I hate you. I can't stand you. I despise you. They want to cause an uproar. They want to cause persecution. And here's their reason. It's because you preach Jesus. It's because you teach Jesus. It's because you're causing an uproar. You're turning the world upside down. Hey, I got news for you. The world's already upside down. It's time for us to turn the world right side up again. And if that means we got to preach Jesus and teach Jesus, and that's what they're persecuting us for, then by all means, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty because there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, folks. It's got to be the name of Jesus. He faced persecution. But suddenly, I want you to notice, I want you to notice the provision. The provision. It says, they came to him in verse 6. They drew him out. They said, you've turned the world upside down and are come hither also. These men and Paul, they've come to Thessalonica. And here it is, whom Jason hath received. So first of all, we see the persecution, how Jason's like Christ. But secondly, I want you to notice this, the provision. That word receive in the Greek simply means this, to bring in under one's roof. Now you say, well, Brian, that just means he gave him a place to stay. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. He gave him a place to stay. But here's the way I looked at it. Paul and Silas needed somewhere to go, and Jason brought them in to where he was. And here's what God, I got blessed about. The fact that when I needed somewhere to go and I needed someone to turn to, thank God Jesus didn't look at me and disdain me and say, get out of here. You don't look right. You don't act right. You're not from my country. You're not a Jew. I can't receive you. But aren't you glad tonight that Jesus looks at us and he sees a soul that needs a place to go, and he received us. He welcomed us in. Aren't you thankful that he brought you into the family of God? Jason received them. Thank you, Jesus. Living under ones, he took them in. Maybe you were bruised and battered like the one that the Good Samaritan came and found on the side of the road. Maybe some of you were like that when Jesus found you and brought you in and poured in the oil and the wine, the oil, the representation of the blessed Holy Spirit, and the wine, representation of the blood of Christ. That wine they poured into them wounds was an antiseptic. It was a disinfectant, and the oil was provided for healing. Aren't you glad that you were bruised and broken and battered and living on the side of the road? Now everybody seemed to walk by, but thank God a man named Jesus came by and welcomed you in, brought you into his house, and healed your wounds, bruised and broken and battered. But aren't you glad that what there's someone that stopped by and said, I'll take you in and I'll heal you. Hallelujah. Maybe not only bruised and battered, but maybe you're wounded and weary like the man living in amongst the tombs, not in his right mind. And thank God Jesus came to where he was. He wasn't scared of him. No, he came to where he was and he spoke life into him. I'm paraphrasing to get through, to get to where I want to go. But listen, this man that had nowhere to go, this man that was naked, cutting himself with rocks, this man that had lost his mind, filled with devils, Jesus saw something within him that nobody else saw. He was wounded and weary, but thank God Jesus went to where he was and took him in and received him. Aren't you glad tonight? Some of you know what it means to be wounded and weary. You would have lost your mind if it wasn't for Jesus coming by your way and healing you and receiving you. And everybody else said, don't mess with them. Everybody else said, stay away from them. But thank God Jesus brought you in. Thank you, Joel, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, not only bruised and battered, but wounded and weary. But maybe some of you were hurt and hated, just like Zacchaeus. And maybe you needed someone to take you in. And bless God, Jesus came by one day, and he looked up into the tree, and the sycamore tree, and saw Zacchaeus there. Zacchaeus, of course, short in stature, needed to find somewhere where he could see the man that they were talking about. And he went up, and Jesus started to ask him some questions, and they started having a conversation. And at the end of the conversation, Jesus said, make haste and come down. Here's what he said, for I'm going to your house. What does that mean? That means I receive you, I welcome you, and I'm going to your house. Because things are different now. You're not hated anymore. You're not hurt anymore. Thank God the world around Zacchaeus, they hated him. They despised him. But thank God Jesus looked past all that and saw a soul that needed to be brought in and needed to be received. Aren't you thankful tonight for Jesus that brings in the hurt and the hated? Glory to God. Glory to God. Maybe you were searching and sinful like the woman at the well. Maybe you thought that no one cared about you. Maybe you tried your best to stay away from the house of God and stay away from people that were different than you. Isolated yourself. But thank God Jesus went out of his way to come by and search you out and to seek you out. He shouldn't even been talking to her that day. But bless God, he went out of his way and sat at the well and welcomed this lady in and changed her life forever. Oh, how many of you were in a sin-cursed state and thought there was nowhere else to go? You were sinful. You were searching, and hallelujah, someone told you about the man that can give you living water and change your life forever. Aren't you glad he welcomes the sinner? Hallelujah. Maybe you were blind and begging like Bartimaeus, and he called out to Christ, and Christ stopped in the middle of what he was doing, stopped and turned around and called Bartimaeus to come into his presence. He says, I can go to where you're at. but I want you to come to me. And he welcomed him in and changed his life forever and caused him to receive his sight and thereby having new life. Many of us, you're walking around with 20/20 vision, but you're still blind spiritually. And I got good news for you tonight. There's someone here named Jesus, and all you got to do is call out to him and he'll stop, he'll turn, he'll call you, he'll receive you, he'll welcome you in and give you sight for your spiritual blindness. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're shouting tonight. Glory to God. Maybe you were dying and deserving of death, like the thief on the cross. But Jesus still received you and welcomed you in. Many of you were dying, and you could even say you were on death's door, not only physically but spiritually. And you were at the point where you needed help, and you needed it in the worst way. The thief on the cross, there's no liars when it comes down to deathbeds, right? And there he was on the cross of Calvary, started to have a conversation. And he called him exactly what he needed to be called. He called him King. Will you welcome me into your kingdom? And Jesus said, I know you're deserving of death, and you deserve this cross. You deserve to be on this cross. But I'll remember you. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He welcomed in the dying. He welcomed in the deserving. And really, when we think about it, all of us deserve death. All of us deserve to be living in hell. But bless God, there's a Savior that came down and welcomed us in. Even though we deserve it, he said, I'll take your place. Glory to God. And maybe you're selfish and satisfied, like the Apostle Paul. But God still chose to blind him on the road to Damascus and say, I see something within you that no one else sees. You may have persecuted and killed my family. You may have persecuted and killed my children. But from now on, you're going to bring them to me. This man deserved death. This man deserved to die just like he killed all those other Christians. And he was selfish and satisfied with living in his selfishness. But bless God, Jesus still came down and said, I'll take you in and I'll receive you. I give you all different types of people that Jesus welcomed in. And I'm sure there's plenty others out there. But I want you to know he welcomes the whosoever. And he'll welcome you in tonight. I don't care what you're going through. Just like Jason received Paul and Silas and took care of their needs, gave them a place to stay and welcomed them in, Jesus Christ welcomes you tonight. Thank God. And he's got a house big enough to hold everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jason was persecuted. Jason was offered provision, but I want you to notice finally the pardon. The pardon. Go with me to verse 8. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things. Now pay attention here in verse 9. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Now, on the surface, if you just read it as it's wrote, what I thought initially was, oh, they took Jason in and there must have been someone else with him. They captured them, they arrested them, but then they decided to let him go. But once I started digging in a little deeper, that's not what it means. Here's what it means. The phrase, and when they had taken security of Jason, security of Jason. Now here it is, you're going to miss the whole point. Taking security of Jason. What Jason did is he provided bond and bail for Paul and Silas so that they would be set free. So Paul and Silas caused an uproar. And what they were getting ready to do is they were getting ready to throw them in jail. They were getting ready to take control of them and they were getting ready to overtake them. But they came to Jason, who had taken them in and received them, and basically said, we're going to take care of things unless you pay the bond and we'll let them go. And Jason, along with some others, paid the bond so that they, and when it says there in verse 9, they let them go, that's not talking about Jason and the other, that's talking about Paul and Silas. So think about that. Now think about it. Jason's like Jesus, right? He was persecuted. He gave provision. He welcomed them in. But he also provided pardon. He paid their debt so they could go free. They would have never made it to Athens, Garrett, if Jason would have provided the bond to set them free. Kind of sounds like Jesus. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay, but thank God Jesus put the blood of Christ on it and said we could go free. Satan says, this is what I demand. And God said, I'll pay and put my son on the line. And thank God the blood of Christ was applied to the sin debt of the world. And thank God one drop of his blood took care of all the debt and let us go free. Aren't you glad that you're free tonight in Jesus' name? Angie, come and get ready. And Howard, if you don't care, maybe come and get a song of invitation. I want to close with this. I've shared this story so many times, you can probably repeat it with me, but it's so applicable to this right here. My father, of course, my dad was raised Free Will Baptist, and so they sang out of the red church hymnal that was the Church of God church hymnal. And so many of you have sang out of that for years as well, and here we have the All-American church hymnal. And so when Dad met my mom and they started traveling, singing, and they went to a lot of 3CU churches, a lot of Nazarene churches, and a lot of other churches that had this kind of hymnal and other hymnals, they sang a song called They Are Covered by the Blood. We sing it here. It's a great song. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. My iniquity so vast has been blotted out at last. My sins are all what? Covered by the blood. So when Dad heard that, he got, you know, he never heard that before. And you just got, if you know my dad, you know this is true. He just started questioning. He's like, well, my sins aren't covered. They're washed away, you know. And so he just kind of had it, you know, I don't really like that song because my sins are washed away. They're not covered. And then one day the Holy Spirit, as he was practicing with the Christian Baptist choir, and Dad led the Christian Baptist camp meeting choir for years, and he picked out this song for the choir to sing. And they were practicing. And as they were practicing and as they were singing, because Dad always says, pay attention to the words you're singing, or the people won't enjoy it, you won't enjoy it, but pay attention to what you're singing. So he was paying attention to what he was directing and what they were singing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just put a light bulb, and he finally understood what the song meant. And here's the illustration that he given. He said, if I go to Bob Evans and I've got a bill that's $17 and I put a $20 bill on that invoice or on that bill, you know what? He says, that'll cover it. Basically, it's a debt that he owes, and he puts the 20 on the 17 and says, that covers my debt. That covers my bill. And the Holy Spirit reminded him, Mark, you had a debt that you owed and you could not pay, and I put my blood and I slapped it on it and said, that'll cover it. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful the blood of Christ covers our sin? And guess what? You can keep the change. Hallelujah.